It's WGXC 90.7 FM.
Right.
Acra.
Keep going.
Hudson, Catskill, Phoenicia, and lots of other places.
That's an interesting addition.
And Valencia.
And Valencia.
Or as they usually call it when you first land in Columbia County.
Valati.
Valati.
Very well done. Did you mention the online way
and to hear? Online at WGXC.org.
Yes.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show, and we've got all sorts of songs and sounds and stories for you today, including an interview with Cedric Fulton, the civil rights manager for the Hudson Catskill Housing Coalition, to talk about the Clean Slate New York law that is before the legislature in Albany right now. They're trying to get past a law that will clear a New Yorker's conviction record once they become eligible to vote. We'll also hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Makers Syndicate, and it all begins after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
In airwaves controlled, on air, in air, channel connection, and the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network.
This is the news.
This is the network.
This is the news.
This is the network.
WGXC underwriting support has been provided by Dedicated Presentation Solutions. Allow DPS to turn your audiovisual how-do-I's into here's how you cans. Visit dedicatedpresentation.com or call 845-475-8465 for more information. Dedicated Presentation Solutions, your audiovisual partner.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Bob Wills Architecture of Rhinecliff, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org and click Donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. Brendan J. Lyons is reporting for the Times Union that the brother of the late Jason Jones has filed a wrongful death claim against the village of Catskill. The action taken by Justin Jones will preserve his ability to file a formal lawsuit on behalf of his brother's estate in the future. Jason Jones died on December 15th in a burn unit at a Syracuse hospital, 47 days after he was set alight when Catskill Village police fired a taser at him, causing critical lung damage. The state attorney general's office is investigating the incident, including the actions of the police officers who were captured on a police station video camera running away from Jones after he burst into flames. Jones, 29 years old, had doused himself with an alcohol-based hand sanitizer in full view of the officers, moments before the electrodes fired from a taser struck his torso. Quote, Jason Jones was unarmed and not a threat to himself or others, and circumstances did not exist at the time to reasonably justify the shooting of the taser by the village police officer into Jason Jones, unquote. The claim filed by the Jones family attorney Kevin A. Lubrand reads, Quote, prior to the police officer's shooting of the taser, Jason Jones had applied onto his body flammable alcohol-based liquid hand sanitizer. The police officer knew or had reason to believe that the electrical current of the taser would ignite the flammable alcohol on Jason Jones's body, unquote. On the police station video, the police can be seen abandoning Jones when the flames ignited. Jones fell to the ground and was left to use only his hands to put out the flames that engulfed his upper body and head. Jones died after spending nearly 7 weeks on a ventilator in an intensive care unit at Upstate University Hospital. The Times Union consulted with a law enforcement official with extensive experience in police training who said the officers should have immediately tried to assist Jones when he caught fire, comparing it to the imperative to pull a suspect from a burning car if they crash during a police vehicle pursuit. The Attorney General's office investigation is ongoing. The officers involved in the incident have not yet been named by the Catskill Village Police. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
Colby Ikowitz and Adrian Blanco report in the Washington Post that New York Democrats unveiled the redistricting maps for Congress on January 30th, and the proposal boosts the chances of Democrat Antonio Delgado in the 19th Congressional District. Democrats could win an additional 3 seats in Congress if the plan is voted on and signed by Governor Kathy Hochul later this week as expected. Delgado's 19th congressional district adds Binghamton and Utica under the plan, moving the district from one that President Joe Biden won by 1.5% to one where Biden won by 10 points. That comes at a bit of the expense of Democrat Paul Tonko's 20th congressional district, which moves from a Biden plus 20.5 district to one where Biden won by 17.3 points as part of Albany County's switch to the 19th district. New York lost one congressional seat in the latest census count. A 10-member, supposedly independent commission, where 8 members were appointed by partisan legislative leaders, could not reach a decision on district lines, so the legislature has taken over the process. Blair Horner, executive director of the New York Public Interest Research Group, which opposes partisan gerrymandering from either party, said, and I quote, "This is not a good night for New York Republicans," end quote. Democrats and Republicans had differing opinions on the redistricting proposals. David Imamura, the Democratic chairman of redistricting, said, and I quote, "I'm thrilled with the maps that have come down. They listened to the public input the commission received, and I think that's reflected in these maps," end quote. Nick Langworthy, chairman of the New York State Republican Committee, said, and I quote, "These maps are the most brazen and outrageous attempt at rigging the election to keep Nancy Pelosi as speaker," end quote. Read more about this story in the Washington Post.
Noah Eckstein is reporting for Columbia Green Media that Richard Wallace, the incumbent community representative on the Hudson Industrial Development Agency, was reappointed January 27th to serve another 2 years on that agency's board. Wallace and 4 other candidates for the seat made their appeals for support during a special meeting of the Hudson Common Council. The council members unanimously chose Wallace over former 2nd Ward Representative Tiffany Garriga and 1st Ward Representative Jane Trombley, Hudson Housing Authority Treasurer and former alderperson Rebecca Wolf, as well as attorney Julie Goldwitz. The IDA assists in the acquisition, construction, improvement, and maintenance of Hudson's industrial, commercial, renewable energy, and recreational facilities. The first vote taken by the council was split 4 ways, but the second was unanimous for Wallace. Wallace currently serves as IDA secretary. Goldwitz was the only candidate to not receive a vote, but Wallace encouraged her input and expertise at future IDA meetings. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
Representative Antonio Delgado on January 30th joined the chorus calling for a ban on members of Congress trading stocks. Representative Abigail Sandberger, a Democrat from Virginia, and Representative Chip Roy, a Republican from Texas, introduced a measure to ban members of Congress from trading stocks last year after revelations that several Republicans used insider knowledge of the COVID-19 pandemic in its early days to buy stocks in companies likely to do well through the coronavirus outbreak. The bill got little traction until Democrat Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, came out against the proposal. That incited support from both sides of the aisle. Now there is a similar bill in the Senate and momentum to pass something. The bills would require members of Congress, their spouses, and dependent children to place their stocks in a blind trust while the member is in office. Lawmakers often have access to privileged information, and these bills would attempt to quash efforts to make money on that insider knowledge. Delgado said in a January 30th tweet, and I quote, "This is a bipartisan, bicameral effort that I am proud to be a part of. Members of Congress should work to represent the communities, not to turn a profit," end quote.
On January 31st, 47 representatives in New York's Assembly and Senate signed on to a letter asking Governor Kathy Hochul for more money for child care. Quote, 47 of us in New York legislature just released this joint statement that says Hochul's budget is inadequate on child care spending and we need $5 billion for universal child care. This is the moment, unquote. New York State Senator Jabari Brisport tweeted. Locally, State Senator Michelle Hinchey, a Democrat, was the only representative to sign on to the letter. Democrat Assemblymember Dee Dee Barrett did not sign on to the letter, nor did local Republican representatives including State Senator Daphne Jordan, Assemblymember Chris Tague, and Assemblymember Jake Ashby. In her proposed budget, Governor Kathy Hochul announced that $70 million in federal money will be directed to, quote, newly licensed, registered, or permitted child care programs in areas of the state without sufficient child care slots, known as child care deserts, unquote. But that $100 million program was part of last year's budget.
Roger Hannigan Gilson reports in the Times Union that Greene County businesses had $1.1 billion in sales in 2021, a large increase from the year before. That meant record sales tax revenue for the county, an 18% increase of about $6.5 million. Greene County Deputy County Administrator Warren Hart attributed the increase to changes in buying habits and an alteration in the tax code. In 2019, the state counted sales tax by where the item was purchased, but switched in 2020 to where the buyer is located. Since Greene County lacks large commercial centers, malls, or giant shopping districts, and since many people did more shopping at home during the pandemic, the increase was notable. Plus, Greene County has seen more second homeowners moving in, also increasing sales. The county's total value of all taxable property rose more than 5% between 2020 and 2021, according to figures from the state comptroller's office. Fueled by new homeowners, Greene County also had the most municipalities in the capital region with highest income growth between 2018 and 2019. With Lexington in seeing a 36.2% increase in gross income. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
Nick Reisman is reporting for New York State of Politics that Oswego County District Attorney Gregory Oakes on January 31st confirmed that he will not be filing criminal charges against former Governor Andrew Cuomo. It had been alleged that Cuomo inappropriately touched a National Grid employee during a trip to Oswego County in May 2017. Former governor resigned in August after a report was released detailing inappropriate behavior and sexual harassment as alleged by 11 women. Oakes' office had been investigating the account by Virginia Limitas, a 55-year-old National Grid worker who accused Cuomo of touching her chest during an event. Quote, after a thorough review of the available evidence and applicable law, the Oswego County District Attorney's Office has concluded that there is not a sufficient legal basis to bring criminal charges against former Governor Andrew Cuomo based on the allegations of unwanted physical contact made by Virginia Limitas. Oakes said in a statement, to be clear, this decision is based solely upon an assessment of the law and whether the people can establish a legally sufficient case under controlling precedent, unquote. Oakes also praised Limitas for coming forward with the initial allegation. He found Limitas to be, quote, reliable and reasonable, unquote, and seemingly, quote, motivated only by an earnest desire to do the right thing. I commend her bravery and respect her courage, unquote. Oakes is the latest county prosecutor to not pursue criminal charges against the former governor. The Manhattan District Attorney's Office dropped its investigation of Cuomo, while Albany County District Attorney David Soares backed the dismissal of a forcible touching charge against him. Marianne Wang, an attorney representing Limitas, said, quote, not every violation of law results in a criminal prosecution. This decision does not mean Cuomo acted appropriately or lawfully, unquote. Read more about the story at newyorkstateofpolitics.com.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day. And now, here is your WGXE weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Tuesday, mostly sunny with a high near 33 degrees. Tuesday night, mostly cloudy with a low of around 21 degrees. And on Wednesday, mostly cloudy with a high near 40 degrees. And Wednesday night, a chance of rain before 4 a.m., then a chance of rain and snow. It will be cloudy with a temperature low of around 34 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
Tuesday, February 1st, tune in all sorts of creative community voices on your radio station, WGXC 90.7 FM, including at 9 a.m. We will hear from Cedric Fulton, the civil rights manager for the Hudson Catskill Housing Coalition. They are gearing up for a Clean State New York campaign to get legislation passed in Albany that would automatically clear a New Yorker's conviction record once they become eligible. We'll hear tracks from Oscar Sala, Andre Stordor, and Robert Ashley on the early Electro Mix show at 11 a.m. on the radio. Then at noon, DJ Patty Boom celebrates his first anniversary on the air with More Vinyl Freedom. At 3 p.m., Howard Broomfield is the featured artist on the Radio Art Hour. We'll hear the WGXC Congressional Report about what Representatives Antonio Delgado and Paul Tonko have been up to at 6 p.m. on WGXC's All Together Now news show. Dan Seward beams in from somewhere in Columbia County live on the radio at 10 p.m., 90.7 FM, with the Battlefield Earth program on 90.7 FM.
To get a local event mentioned on All Together Now, go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page, and copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
There are all sorts of local community events in the WGXC community calendar online, WGXC.org. You can even add your own there. There's a button called Add an Event. You press the Add an Event button and then fill in the blanks, and soon enough, your community calendar listing is on WGXC.org in the community calendar. And it's also being read on the radio right now, including the band Ballister comes to Kingston in April, April 13th. The international free jazz noise trio Ballister, with saxophonist Dave Rempus, cellist Fred Lundberg Holm, and drummer PNL from Norway, start their 2022 U.S. tour at Kingston's Tubby's. Find out more about this event, a link to Tubby's website, and more in the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org.
Hello, radio listeners of the universe. This is DJ Patty Boom, the host of Vinyl Freedom, right here on 90.7 WGXC every first and third Tuesday of the month from 12, 10 to 2 p.m. So this Tuesday, February 3rd, is my one-year anniversary of the Vinyl Freedom Show, where I spend the afternoon with you spinning all kinds of magical wax. So come have the bubbly with me and tune in to Vinyl Freedom. Thank you.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Tuesday, February 1st. Early on, we see 1 degree in Wemple and 8 degrees in Twilight Park. Conditions today will be freezing this morning and cold this afternoon. Make sure that you layer up. A high of 34 is expected at 2 p.m. That brief thaw could cause some icy spots, so be careful if traveling. Overnight, temperatures drop a little bit to 23 degrees. Not nearly as brutal as the last couple days. Tomorrow will be dry but cloudy and have a high of 42. 35 degrees overnight takes us into a soggy Thursday. Rain all day with a high of 41. That rain turns to freezing rain, making things a bit dangerous before sunup on Friday. After which, an inch of snow is expected to fall through the day with a high of 27 degrees. The weekend is currently looking dry with highs in the mid to upper 20s. And if you like seasonal predictions but want something better than a supernatural rodent, the next couple months are expected to have above normal temperatures, which could mean an early end to winter. Considering the accuracy of Punxsutawney Phil, this is likely to lead to him seeing his shadow tomorrow. Sunset today will be at 4:54 p.m. and sunrise tomorrow will be at 7:04 a.m. Looking way up, we see a coronal mass ejection is due to strike on Wednesday, and an incoming solar wind is expected to arrive on Sunday. More active solar regions are on the way. Solar wind speed is currently 412 kilometers per second at 3.9 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 4 megahertz till dark, then honestly not much better overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 3, quiet. The current sunspot number is 11. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Jen Crawford of Germantown, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about Creative Community Radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
2 weeks, 14 days, 326 hours. Every second that your family could be exposed to radiation after a nuclear attack. Radiation that kills.
To survive, a fallout shelter is a necessity. Equipment and supplies are essential.
Now, Survive All Shelters, one of the nation's leading manufacturers of fallout shelters, offers a basic equipment kit with
a Conelrad high-powered radio, transistor-operated for long battery life,
a complete, fully stocked first aid kit,
a heavy-duty fire extinguisher, emergency water containers, a chemical toilet for protection against contamination and disease,
extra-strength Saran and Rayon bunks,
a radiation meter and individual dosimeters.
For protection every second of each hour of every day. See a survive-all shelter now. Thank you.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we are following our democracy in historic times.
We really can't afford to not have one step of what we do in order to vote to be taken away from us.
As a trial over Florida's 2021 voting law began, NAACP Florida President Adora Nwezi argued the new measures discriminate against minorities, people with disabilities, and older voters. The law restricts mail-in ballots, drop boxes, and third-party voter registration groups. Supporters argue reforms are needed to prevent election fraud. President Joe Biden wants to designate Qatar, the world's second-largest producer of liquefied natural gas, as a major non-NATO ally. Biden and Qatar's leaders are discussing a European energy contingency plan in case Russia invades Ukraine. Senator Joe Manchin defended Biden's promise to nominate the first black woman to serve on the U.S. Supreme Court.
This is far beyond time, far beyond time. It's time to do it.
The West Virginia Democrat said he hopes to quickly confirm a successor for retiring Justice Stephen Breyer. First Lady Jill Biden encouraged spouses and the nation's governors to work together on issues that transcend politics.
Why talk to people who will never agree with you? And the answer is, I am their First Lady too.
After a report revealed that at least a dozen Downing Street parties were held breaching pandemic lockdown rules, British Prime Minister Boris Johnson apologized Monday.
We ask people across this country to make the most extraordinary sacrifices, not to meet loved ones, not to visit relatives before they died. And I understand the anger that people feel.
Johnson is facing calls to resign. And in Canada, thousands of truck drivers continued protests in Ottawa against COVID-19 vaccine mandates. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, who is isolated after testing positive for the virus, condemned conservatives who support the protest.
This is a moment for responsible leaders to think carefully about where they stand and who they stand with.
Back here in the States, California Governor Gavin Newsom responded to his critics after a photo emerged of him maskless at an NFL playoff game.
I was trying to be gracious and took the mask off for a brief second.
A growing list of states are calling for a constitutional convention. Backers want new amendments to impose fiscal restraints on Congress, limit federal power, and set term limits for federal officials, arguing Article 5 was written for states to respond should the federal government overstep its powers. But Vicki Harrison with Common Cause notes it doesn't include guardrails, leaving the Constitution vulnerable to unpredictable changes.
Education or environmental rights or gun rights, no matter what you care about in the Constitution, if we called an Article 5 convention, it's up for grabs.
So far, 17 of the necessary 34 states to call a constitutional convention have passed resolutions in favor. I'm Mary Sherman for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our A-Trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to The Morning Show on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Cedric, thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Corinne.
You sit on the steering committee for the Clean Slate Coalition.
The Clean Slate New York Coalition. You know, and it's very, very important that we mention New York because this work is being done across the country, and we're focusing our efforts on New York.
More than one in seven people has a record of a criminal conviction, which keeps them from accessing basic opportunities like employment and housing. What is the Clean Slate New York Coalition aiming to do about this problem?
You just said it, 2.3 million New Yorkers, one out of seven has missed their mark sometime in their lifetime. And we believe that there should not be any barriers, right? We should end perpetual punishment of those 2.3 million New Yorkers. We had a two-part system originally when we started this campaign. It was sealing was phase one, and then it would move on to phase two, which was expungement. However, due to political things at play and some pushback and negotiation, it's now a sealing bill. What this would do is the great thing about it would be automatic. Unlike the current sealing law, which is very restrictive, it's application-based, this is an automatic sealing bill.
So let's back up a little bit. Let's talk about the barriers that actually do exist to employment and housing. What do they look like and how do they operate? What does this look like for a person that has a record of a criminal conviction?
An individual with a conviction history, whether it's a misdemeanor or a felony, lose a lifetime earnings of $484,000 throughout their lifetime. Right. We have the Center for Collateral Consequences to Incarceration says that combined individuals in New York State that has been incarcerated lose a lifetime earning combined $19.8 billion. So just in those numbers alone, you can see that graphic picture, right, of poverty, and that perpetual punishment leads to poverty. Children that grow up in poverty are more likely to remain in poverty throughout their lifetime. Clean Slate New York will end that. I'm a father of a 12 and a 13-year-old. I had custody since I came home from prison in 2012. I have a 3.8 GPA in political science. However, if it wasn't for the criminal justice field, I wouldn't be able to feed my family other than going to the social safety nets.
Tell me a little bit about how this looks in a real person's life. Say they go to apply for a job. Is it the fact that there's a question on many applications for employment about whether you've ever been convicted of a crime, and then you don't even get past that stage? Is that what's happening?
Well, let's put it in my term. I filled out upwards of, I think it was 42 when I stopped counting, 41 or 42 interviews when I came home from prison. I was turned down from every one of them, despite the fact that I got a 3.8 GPA in political science, right? I was definitely qualified for the job. But again, the door was slammed in my face because of my past criminal convictions. I can understand that at that point when I just came home from prison, I can understand that. But what about the individuals now? We have young mothers out there right now that had, you know, convictions 10 years ago, 7 years ago, that are trying to just feed their family. They're going out to apply for these licenses and past criminal convictions are coming up. They're going to apply for housing and past criminal convictions coming up. Some of these women, their only crime was falling in love with the elements of the criminal life. I'm one of them. When are we going to take the lifetime punishment off of individuals that have missed their mark, right? Especially in a state like New York. We have Excelsior on our flag, right? We should be the leader in everything. Excelsior means ever upward, right? That's what we boldly fly that on our flag. When are we going to live up to that? I remember my landlord telling me that he gave me the apartment because he looked on my Facebook page and he seen the interactions that I had with my children. And as endearing as that may sound, that's stigmatizing, that's very triggering, and that keeps me in the margins.
Because you feel like it's none of the landlord's business to know that you had possibly made a mistake in the past.
And he pretty much told me that if he didn't see those pictures, that because he knew my background, that I wouldn't get the apartment. So that tells me that that's a barrier to housing, and housing is a fundamental human right.
Now, in 2017, the New York State Legislature passed a clean slate law that allowed for conviction records to be permanently sealed under certain conditions. Why didn't that do the trick?
Well, let me back it up. It wasn't the clean slate law that they passed. They passed a sealing law, again, of the 2.3 million New Yorkers, right, that missed their mark, that have past criminal convictions, there was an estimation that maybe 600,000 of those individuals would have access to sealing. However, less than 1%, less than half of 1% of the people that actually got relief under the 2017 law. That's why it's imperative to have Clean Slate New York. Another thing is that it's very, very cumbersome. You have to hire an attorney, and it's an application-based process. Again, we're talking about individuals, many of them that lives in economically disadvantaged communities. So the great thing about Clean Slate New York is it's automatic. Soon as you are eligible, you will automatically have your record sealed. And those time frames are very, very important. We're very, very happy that the governor has decided to put our bill in the executive budget. And there's some great things about that. However, there is some very big differences that we are pushing for the legislature's version of the Clean Slate bill and not the executive version. One of the key issues is the timelines. Our timeline is 3 years after sentencing for a misdemeanor and 7 years after sentencing for a felony. The only thing is you can't get sealing while you're on probation or parole. However, that time does toll. Under the executive budget and their bill, they're saying the time starts at the end of the sentence, which means that some individuals may not get relief for 20 years.
That's a very big difference.
Very big difference. And the second thing is it has no teeth. There was an omission of the human rights law in this bill. So there's no accountability. If an employer or a landlord or someone wants to just go about and do a background check illegally, right, there's no mechanism to enforce it and penalize that. So that don't happen. That is a very big deal. We needed to have some teeth. What's the sense of passing a bill, right, where there's no enforcement? You know, so those two things right there, again, we're very happy that it's in the budget and we applaud that. However, we need the legislator's version. We need Assemblywoman Catalina Cruz's version and we need Senator Zelnor Myrie's version.
I'm just wondering what the justification could be for extending the period of time during which someone might have to wait to be eligible for automatic sealing. I mean, is there some argument to be made that once someone passes a certain number of years after incarceration, that it's more likely than not that they won't return to criminal behavior? Is that the justification?
I won't get into why the governor has put what she put into the bill. I don't know what that thinking is. And again, I won't speak for the steering committee. And that's what I'm doing right here, is speaking for the steering committee and the coalition of Clean Slate New York. What I will say, though, the justification for our numbers comes from data. Right. We also have other states like Michigan who passed the Clean Slate law and some of those timelines. They mirror ours. The data shows that those individuals who have their criminal records sealed are less likely to be rearrested than those individuals who've never been arrested in their lifetime before. Mm. And that's a staggering stat. So just think about that. Somebody waiting to get relief for 13 to 14, 15 years. 20 years even, just think about the devastating impacts that I would have on our society coming on, right? We're talking about cutting the prison population in half by 2030. We're talking about lowering the homeless population. We're talking about reimagining education, right? We're talking about mental health reform.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have to imagine it. We've been living it, right? I mean, we've seen the impact. Why is this, or is this, I should say, a racial justice issue?
Because we see that 80% of New Yorkers that's affected this are Black and Latinx. That's why the data shows it.
What is the coalition doing to move these bills to get the Clean Slate Act passed in the form that you want to see it in 2022?
We're building a bigger coalition of not only grassroots top stakeholders, but also grassroots and community stakeholders that invested their time and their energy into public education and reaching out into their legislators and letting them know that we need Clean Slate right now, not yesterday. We need Clean Slate right now. We don't need the executive version. We need the version that Senator Zelnor Myrie and Assemblymember Catalina Cruz put together, and just continuing to go out there and shouting that Clean Slate can't wait. Not only that, making sure that we partner also with other issues and make sure that we let everybody know that we're all in this together. It's not just about Clean Slate. It's about housing justice. It's about economic justice, because this is an anti-poverty bill.
Cedric, where can our listeners find out more information about this bill and your campaign?
You can reach out on our page, cleanslatenewyork.org. You can also reach us, Clean Slate New York, on Twitter And you can also reach us on Instagram.
I really appreciate you breaking this issue down for us. And we'd love to have you back as this campaign progresses and we see what lawmakers do as the budget is negotiated towards the end of March.
I appreciate you having us on, and I hope it did us some justice. You know, I always want to show love to the Capital District. So thank you. Thank you. And thank you for the tremendous work that you guys are doing, you know, to bring all of these issues to the forefront for us.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Pensar assim, se eu sou muito louco por eu ser feliz, mas louco é quem me diz e não é feliz, não é feliz. Se eles são bonitos, sou Alain Delon. Se eles são famosos, sou Napoleão.
WGXC?
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Would you like to do a show?
Interesting, boring, really boring, wonderful things.
It'd be about
chocolate pigs.
She's obsessed with pigs.
Chocolate pigs.
Awesome.
All the way down.
I turned it down.
Only dogs can hear.
Burn his.
I turned it down. Do it.
Did you hear that?
No.